Our text for this morning is Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 14. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there, and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places that I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." This is the word of the Lord. Father, as we turn our attention to your word this morning, we ask that you would speak to each of us, that we might recognize that you have chosen to speak to us today. Amen. It is that awkward time between Christmas and New Year's. Those of us that were looking forward to Christmas, I know that not everybody was, but those of us that were looking forward to Christmas, now it's cleanup time. You got to take down the decorations, you got to throw away the wrapping, and you got to hope that nothing got stuck in the wrapping that should have been kept. And it's that kind of turn of the year, and now we're going to think, well, what's happening in 2016? And some of us are just petrified because about the 20th of January, the credit card bills come, and we didn't keep that good a track of how much we were spending, and it could be tough. What are you looking forward to? Everyone needs something to look forward to. In the cartoon Peanuts, Lucy is talking to Linus. I need a slide. Lucy says, "Give me a glass of water." And Linus responds, "Why should I do anything for you? You never do anything for me." To which Lucy says, "On your 75th birthday, I'll bake you a cake." And Linus goes, gets up and gets the water. Life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to, even if it is 70 years down the road. Life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to. We have been talking over the last month or so about hope. And for some people, any hope will do. That on their 75th birthday, their sister will bake them a cake. For the Christian, we have this long-term hope that the trumpet is going to sound and we're going to go to heaven. We have a living hope in Jesus Christ. But we also have a more immediate hope. And as we look at our text this morning, I hope to bring us to a point where we can recognize that we live in hope. Jeremiah 29, 1 to 14. It is a letter that Jeremiah writes to the exiles at the urging of God. And in it, he says, embrace the hope of the past. You may wonder, how does he say that? Well, the letter begins, which actually begins at verse 4. It says this, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is a historical note. The first three verses give us more specific history. But when it leads to verse 4, as God speaks to the exiles, God reminds them that they are where they are because that is where he sent them. And that's an interesting dynamic. Because part of the struggle that people have, part of the struggle that many of us have, is that we don't feel like we are where we ought to be. We want to have warmer weather. Okay, everybody wants that. Okay, not the skiers, but they're kind of crazy anyway. But many of us struggle with the idea that we are not where we belong. We're not where we want to be. The people of Israel have been sent into exile in Babylon. That's not their first choice. And God reminds them subtly that he sent them there. God has an active hand in your everyday life. Wherever you are, I encourage you to embrace the hope of the past. I had a discussion with someone who was talking to me about some disappointments. They wanted a particular course of events to happen, and they wanted to do a particular thing, and God closed that door and opened another door, and they actually had a great blessing out of where they ended up. But they kept looking back about where they had wanted to be. And that's the way some of us are. We have this idea that because we are not where we thought we should be, somehow God was missing in the equation. God tells the people of Israel who have been sent into exile, you are where I sent you. And although this could be taken as a negative, and whatever your situation is, you can look upon almost any situation and see it as a negative. It reminds us that even in what we might consider the worst scenario, God is there. And we don't know what things really would have been like had we gotten our wish. When God says no, it is still God responding to our prayers. And it is still God seeking to bless us. And so I encourage you as we come into the new year to look back on 2015, to look back on the last 15, 20, 30 years of your life, to mark the disappointments and ask yourself, how was God present in this disappointment? How was God directing my life through this disappointment? To embrace the hope of the past because you know God is with you. And God was with you. Embrace the hope of the past. And then in Jeremiah's letter, he goes on to tell the people to embrace the hope of the present. Look at verse 5. Build houses and live in them. At least one of us here has built a house. How long did it take you, Brad, to build your house? One full year. One full year. See, a lot of us think that we can't manage to make it through our present circumstance for 6 more weeks. That's about the end of when we're going to have this cold. Someone asked me if I could do something about the weather, and I said, yes, I'm working on it. It'll take me 2 or 3 months, and it'll get back warm again. Some of us, that's not fast enough. Here, the people have been sent into exile, and God says, embrace the hope of the present. Because that is what these next verses talk about, isn't it? Build houses. Maybe it'll take you longer to build a house. In my first church in Wisconsin, there was a family that was building a house. They had started before I got there, and they didn't finish when I left 5 years later. They had jobs, they kept, you know, and every weekend they just put another log on. It was a wood, you know, a log house, and they just slowly built the thing up. And they lived in the basement, and then they built houses. But there's always this hope. If you've bought a house or built a house, you know there's this hope. When we get into this home, things are going to be cool. We're going to have a place for the family to eat dinner together. We're going to each have our own bedrooms. We're going to have this place, which is our own. Plant gardens. This is more short term, I think. Plant gardens. I'm not really all that good in planting gardens. Actually, that's not true. I'm good at planting. I'm just not good at harvesting. Because it seems like things die. At the end of the summer this year, my neighbor had planted pumpkins, and one of them grew over the fence to give me a pumpkin. I actually got to harvest somebody else's crop. Plant gardens. This is saying, look where you are. And embrace the hope of today. When I do plant a garden, I always have this hope that I'll be able to eat some strawberries, that I'll be able to pick some flowers. It's forward-looking. You plant gardens with the hope that you'll actually receive the produce from them. You plant gardens looking down the road and saying, this is where I live. This is how God's going to provide for me. The people of Israel living in exile. If ever there's a natural time to have a flee mentality, this is it. And it's what many of us do today. We live with an escapism mentality. If things don't go your way, you run, you leave, you go someplace else. We don't have to work things out, just move on. The people of Israel are in exile, and God says, plant gardens. You're going to be through here at least through another growing season. And then he says, take wives and have kids. I read a thing this morning, talked about how long it took a guy to actually convince his wife to say yes. It was like 3 years. You know, I don't know about you, but that's not that unusual. Some people fall in love at first sight, and they have a whirlwind romance, and 6 months later they're married. A lot of us had to work and convince our spouse that we were going to be okay. Take wives. Convince someone that you're worth marrying. And then have kids. Even back when Jeremiah was writing, it still took 9 months. We're talking at least 9 more months here. We've gone through a whole planting season. We've built houses. We've planted, and now we're having children. And then Jeremiah goes on. He says, oh, by the way, I know that there are certain times in your life where you don't want to hear you say, honey, I'm late. But when you're early married, that's a cool thing. Just, isn't that, you're a grandparent. Or you're a parent, and, well, that's the next thing. He says, have your children take wives. Give your daughters in marriage. And so now they say to their spouse, we're expecting, and they call you up. They text you. Hey, due date next September. You're going, sweet, That's something to look forward to. This is the hope of the present. And Jeremiah says, build houses, plant gardens, get married, have kids, get them married off, let them have kids, because you're going to be here for a while, and embrace the hope of the present. All too often, we have stopped embracing the hope of today. We just are looking forward to hearing that trumpet sound. Please, Lord Jesus, just come back. I am so tired of shoveling snow. I did it once this year. That's enough. We are so bought into the lousy news of the day, we think we have to live in fear. God says, live in hope. Look at what's happening around you. Celebrate the present. Embrace the hope for today. All of the activities that Jeremiah recommends to the people are imbued with hope. A new home, a new spouse, a new kid, a new in-law, new grandkids. He says, seek the welfare of the city that you live in. Let's get out of the idea that we just want to get out of here. This is where we are. Embrace the hope of the present. This may not be the situation you had hoped for. The situation may not meet your present expectations, but there is hope embedded in God's message to Israel and to us. Plan on being here for a while. Plan on being here for a while with anticipation and hope. Dwell where the Lord has planted you and make the best of it. I understand. I do counsel people on a regular basis. I understand that many feel that they are living in their own personal exile, that they are not where they want to be. They're living in their own personal misery. You don't feel at home in your own home. There's marriage issues. There's work issues. Life can be tough, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have hope. Choosing to embrace the hope of today is your best hope for today. You can choose to embrace the things which are going wrong and spend your time focusing upon them, or you can choose to embrace the hope of today. It is a biblical concept. Philippians 1 says that he who began a good work in you will complete it and perfect it. Philippians 4, whatever things are good and pure and upright and worthy of positive report, set your mind on these things. Romans chapter 8, we know that God causes all things to work together for good. There's hope for the present. One of the great sadnesses that many pastors face is that people within their congregation don't do what the Bible tells them to do. They just choose to focus on the negative. It destroys marriages. It destroys relationships. It makes it look like it's not all that great of a thing to be a Christian. We choose our response to the things around us. The people of Israel living in exile, God reminds them, dwell in the land and live in the hope of today. Don't give up, because God hasn't given up on them. Don't give up, because God hasn't given up on you. Embrace the hope of the past, that God has always been with you and always will be with you. Embrace the hope of the future, of the present, because you know that there are all sorts of things in your life which are filled with hope if you will look at them. And embrace the hope of the future. Look what he says. Verse 10. I will visit you. I will visit you. Clean the house. Get ready. God says, I will visit you. He says, this is what we look forward to. Again in verse 10, I will fulfill my promise for you. Read some of the promises of Scripture. The promise of His return, the promise of forgiveness, the promise of goodness. Verse 11, God says, I know the plans I have for you. And He doesn't say that in a devious way. We can do that. Yeah, I got plans for you. God doesn't say that. God says, I know the plans I have for you, and they are plans for good, not for bad. It's a beautiful verse. Plans for welfare. Now, this doesn't mean that an expansion of Medicaid. It doesn't mean an expansion of food stamps. God doesn't, He's not talking about that. He's talking about our goodness. That positive things will happen to us. To give us a future and a hope. And verse 12. Call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. We have a God who will listen to us. Who hears us when we pray. It's part of the reason we pray our 5-second prayer. Because we know that in our prayers God moves people. That through our prayers He draws people unto us, unto Him. That through our prayers people are healed. That through our prayers people are encouraged and strengthened. God says, call upon me and I will hear you. Verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. It is as though God is playing hide and seek with us. And He's sitting right in the open. God says, I'm not trying to hide from you. I want to be found by you. This is the hope of the future. There are times in our lives we don't feel close to God. We feel somehow separated from Him and removed from Him. And He says, seek me and you'll find me. I'm here. I've been here all the time. Just open your eyes. Embrace the hope of the future. Peter puts it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. There is hope for the holidays. There is hope first as we look back upon the past and see how God has been with us, directing us and drawing us close to Him. There is hope in the present. Never let yourself to get so engrossed in the horror of the daily news that you forget that God is still in your life. That there are many reasons to celebrate today. There are many reasons to hope today. And then as we anticipate looking forward to the future when we find God and ultimately when we are united with Him in heaven, we have both a short-term hope and we have a hope of a banquet when the trumpet sounds. Remember the good of the past. Focus on the good of the present. And anticipate the goodness of the return of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us today to live in hope. Help us to turn the calendar and anticipate 2016 being a fantastic year when we embrace hope as a way of life. In the name of Jesus, our powerful Savior and our friend, amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you, or make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.